Welcome to Season 6 of the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ. This season of the podcast is devoted to the greatest sermon ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus teaches His people about life in the kingdom of God.
Oaths and vows have their place. They're not totally forbidden. But once you get to the point where you start feeling like a little bit of dishonesty is okay if you didn't swear to God, if there's a little bit of difference between the way you speak when you're under oath and when you're not under oath, then you've fallen into the Pharisees' error and you need to drop the use of oaths altogether until you can learn to just make your yes mean yes and your no, no. And Jesus says anything beyond that comes from the evil one. What is beyond that? What is speech beyond yes or no? It's speech that adds words in order to obscure truth. You're familiar with that, right? You've listened to politicians give answers. More words, less truth. You give a big, circuitous pile of words that just bury the truth in the fine print. That's beyond yes or no. Or it might be speech that requires added words in order to be truthful. If you just say yes, that you're not necessarily truthful. You have to have an oath in order to make it truthful. So for some people, they add words for the sake of dishonesty. Other people require added words in order to be honest. Either way, it's from the devil. Jesus says that's from the evil one. He's the father of all dishonesty in John 8:44. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. All deceit is satanic. You say, well, what about lying to spare someone's feelings? Lying to spare someone's feelings is lying. It's satanic. It's not a loving thing to do. Now, there are ways to tell the truth that are harsh, and there's ways to tell the truth that aren't so hurtful. You can be gentle about it. So you need to be as kind and gentle as possible, but don't lie. Don't lie. It's not loving. I mean, if I come up here, if I make a fool out of myself every time I play my trumpet and it sounds terrible, and then people don't want to hurt my feelings, and so they keep telling me it sounds great, so then I just keep on making a fool out of myself every time, those people are harming me. They're not doing me any favors. Because of them, I'm unaware of reality, and I'm going to keep making a fool of myself. That's not loving. You say, okay, well, what about other exceptions? What about hiding Jews from Nazis? Then is it okay to lie? Well, I covered that in some detail in the sermon on 1 Samuel 16, the anointing of David. I also covered it in part 2 of the Christian ethics class on truth-telling. I'm not going to go over that again now. If you're hiding Jews from Nazis, you can come talk to me after the sermon. Everyone else, you need to tell the truth. Okay? Just let your yes be yes and your no, no. So, to wrap up here, what can we learn from this text about how to correct the problem of dishonesty? Because some of you might think, I struggle with this, and I know it's wrong, I just can't get myself to tell the truth. The consequences are too, I just don't even want to think about it. Or how do you teach your kids? I mean, dishonesty is a sin that every one of us struggle with to one degree or another. And especially kids. Do you know every kid is a born liar? You do not have to teach your kids to lie, do you? I don't know at exactly what age a kid is capable of distinguishing the concept of truth and falsehood. But whatever that age is, that's the age when they are already liars. It's the same age that they start lying. I mean, it is right out of the hatch for a kid. You don't have to teach a kid to lie. One of the most difficult tasks of parenting is teaching a kid to tell the truth when they don't want to. So how do you do it? How do you teach that? I used to tell people, you got to teach the kid to love the truth. But I was thinking this week, that doesn't even make sense. That's not the solution. The reason they're lying is because the truth is so bad. It's so unlovely. Loving the truth is, I don't think, our motive for being honest. I don't think Scripture gives that as a motive. The truth, you want to know the truth about my life? The truth about my life is I sin against God regularly. I don't love that truth. I hate that. It's true, but I hate it. You're never going to overcome lying by learning to love the truth. You overcome lying by learning to love the person you're talking to. It is a cruel thing to lie. Because whenever you lie, you are stealing a piece of that person's life. Life is interacting with reality. But when you lie, you're robbing of the person of the ability to do that. They can't interact with reality because they don't know the reality. They're being deceived. You're separating that person from reality. That's what the word schizophrenic means. Separated from reality. You know, you're hearing voices, but they don't correspond with reality. They're not actually there. You're seeing things that aren't actually there. That's what insanity is defined as. And when we lie to people, we're forcing them into that, in a sense. Whatever time you spend in your life divorced from reality is wasted time, isn't it? Isn't it? I mean, suppose your friends got together and decided to pull a practical joke on you. And so they told your boss to tell you that you're fired. You're fired. And everyone at work is playing along with the joke. You're not really fired, but it's just a prank. But they don't do it for just a few minutes. They string it out for a whole week. And that whole week, you believe that you've been fired and you're out of work. And now you're operating on the assumption that you don't have a job. You spend all your time job hunting that whole week. You're praying about the situation. Everything you're doing is based on this belief that you're fired. How are you going to feel at the end of the week when they come to you and say it was just a joke? You're going to feel like you just wasted an entire week of your life. Why? Because you were interacting with something that wasn't even reality. Everything you did that week was a total waste because it didn't correspond to reality. It was like being insane. Because what was going on in your world didn't match what was going on in the real world. Those people stole a week out of your life. Life involves interacting with reality, and so that any time you spend divorced from that is, in a sense, a loss of a portion of your life. When you lie to someone, that's what you're dealing. You're stealing life from them. You say, what if reality is ugly? Still, it's better than non-reality. Not only that, but telling someone the truth is an act of love. It's an action of love. And so lying is the opposite of love. If you think you're lying to someone for their own good, think again. It's not for their good. You're hurting them more and more with every lie. Even if you tell them something that makes them feel good. I mean, if somebody convinces you that you won the lottery and because they want you to be happy for a week until you get to the end of the week and find out you didn't win anything? They're not doing you any favors. Unfaithfulness is a terrible thing to live with. It really is. It's one of the great sorrows of life, the fact that people can't be trusted. In Proverbs 25:19, like a bad tooth or a lame foot is reliance upon the unfaithfulness, the unfaithful in times of trouble. So if somebody has an abscessed tooth, if you can imagine back in ancient times, the book of Proverbs, before dentists, you get a bad tooth. That's miserable. If somebody had an abscessed tooth or some really bad tooth and it was your fault, you'd feel bad, right? If somebody had a broken foot and it was ruined, they're lame now for the rest of their life. They can't work, they can't walk, and it's your fault. You would feel bad, right? I mean, would it be unloving to give someone a lame foot, a bad tooth? Yes, that's unloving. Well, this proverb says you're doing something just as bad when you are unfaithful to somebody, you tell a lie, or you don't follow through on your commitment. Just as bad. We count on one another so much in the course of life. That's what living life. I mean, just think of how much you count on truthfulness just to live life. You can't even live life without truthfulness, without being able to believe people. You buy a house, they tell you the price is a certain amount, you believe them. They say your payments are going to be this amount. You make your plans based on that. You trust that that's actually true. Your boss says, this is your job. Your salary is this much. That's your office right over there. You operate based on the assumption that that's all true. Gas pump says you owe $45, you pay $45. You assume that that's true. The box says your computer has a dual-core processor. You live your life thinking you got a dual-core processor. You don't know if that's true. You're going to find out in heaven if that's dual-core, unless you know how to figure that out. The FDA tells us that the food in the grocery store is okay. It's not going to kill you. It's not poison. You can buy the stuff. What do? You go there, you buy it, you eat it. You don't take it to the lab. You don't do a test. You just put it in your mouth and swallow. Tracy went to the pharmacy the other day. You know those pharmacies are jammed full of drugs that some of those drugs, if you took them, would kill you or make you extremely sick? And what happens? Your pharmacist grabs one of those off the shelf, hands it to you, says, take this, it'll make you feel better. What do? You go home, you swallow it. I mean, you could not live life without constantly believing people all day long. That's just the way life is. That's how we live. And so when someone comes along and takes advantage of that, the fact that you have to believe almost everything, and that person lies or proves unfaithful, it's like when you're leaning on something and with all your weight and it gives way. One of the great sorrows of life is the fact that people sometimes prove untrustworthy. I mean, just if we could give testimonies this morning of the multiplied sorrows that all of you have gone through because of people proving to be unfaithful or lying. So, you overcome dishonesty not by learning to love the truth, but by learning to love the people that you're talking to. And one of those people that you're talking to, you're always talking to, is whom? God. Every time you open your mouth, you're talking to God. Remember, everything you say is under oath before God. And that's where all our little rationalizations just fall apart. You know, we come up with these little tricks. Why what we're saying isn't technically a lie. You just picture yourself trying to make that fly on Judgment Day. And see if it's really, you know, God's, why did you lie? Well, she was dishonest to me first. So she had it coming. God says, you lied to me. Did I have it coming? Every time you find yourself saying, well, you know, it's not technically a lie because, you know, if you think about it, would you be saying that? If you were standing in heaven, raise your right hand before God, I swear by God Himself that this is completely true. Every time we lie or shade the truth, we dishonor the name of God. And so the way to overcome lying is to learn to love the people and ultimately to learn to love God more. To have higher regard for His name. And to trust Him. You know, there's no need to lie. There's no need. God will take care of you. Sure, you're going to get in trouble. You're going to have some consequences or whatever if you tell the truth. That's all right. God will take care of you. He'll take care of you in the midst of all that. We think we can get a better outcome by departing from God's way to protect ourselves. We're out of our minds. There's no better outcome than God's way. So let's let our yes mean yes, and our no, no, because we love one another, and we love and trust God. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, that you've told us the truth. You always tell us the truth. You never deceive us. Every word in your holy scriptures are absolutely reliable. You are 100% reliable. You always follow through on everything you've ever said. You never misrepresent anything, never lead us astray. Oh Lord, in a world where people can't be trusted, it is such a joy to serve a God who is utterly faithful, our rock. Lord, let us reflect that faithfulness in the way we live. Today's podcast is a hard one because usually it's the people we love the most that we're most tempted to lie to. We care about what they think, and so we don't want them to see something bad in us, or we want to shield them from some painful truth, so we lie. And yet, lying is not love, it's the opposite of love. Are there people in your life you are failing to love because you're not being completely honest with them? Just remind yourself, there is no better outcome than God's way. When we lie, it's because we want to have a good outcome in our situation. There is no better outcome than following God's way, even if that way is painful. Okay, I hope you can tune back in next time. We'll wrap this up with the Q&A. We had some interesting questions. For example,
What do you do when you make a commitment, but then your circumstances change and you don't want to follow through on that commitment? Or how can you trust again after you've been lied to? And a few other questions. So I hope you can make it back. See you next time.
Thank you for listening. We pray that in this series, your life will be transformed by the soaring ethics, deep insights, and glorious promises of the Sermon on the Mount. We are a crowdfunded ministry, so if you would like this podcast to continue, please consider supporting us with a tax-deductible gift. Just go to treasuringgod.com and click on Give. Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.